I enjoyed Nancy's children's story, and I'm going to contradict it just a little bit, but we'll end up perhaps in the same place. You see, sometimes there's scriptures, the scriptures don't sit well with me. And I'm wondering, like, not just some of the Old Testament passages, which are a little scary at times, all right? But even some of the scriptures that are there that inspire us in some ways, but then unsettle us in other ways. And sometimes I think we might not be truthful about that. Sometimes we just sort of race over something and say, oh, well, that's inspiring, and oh, sure, I believe it. But when the rubber meets the road, does it really keep us going? Sometimes I think we gloss over hard parts and the unsettling parts, and sometimes we ignore that it just doesn't seem to fit together with our lived experience. And sometimes we then give a cursory nod to God's word without really tackling whether it's true in our lives. I think that sometimes that then creates false piety. False piety will never get us through the harsh reality of life and the trouble it brings. False piety won't do it. So I want to just look again at this passage in 2 Corinthians, which is really inspiring, and yet for me there are a spot there that's rather unsettling. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians has sometimes rankled me as much as stirred me to greater spiritual resilience. Let me read this out again to you and then add a few different translations or paraphrases that I have found. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Sounds good. Except I don't know if I really like that outer nature wasting away. And then Paul says, for our slight and momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Slight and momentary. I looked it up. Eugene Peterson, in his message, uses the sort of more contemporary language and says, it's small potatoes. And then even J.B. Phillips says in his translation or paraphrase, these little troubles. And I want to say, wait a minute. Some of you may know that I have spent 38 years in ministry, and 9 of those in hospital ministry. Can you imagine me saying to someone with stage 4 cancer, with a painfully blistered body from the failure of her lymphatic system, that her pain is small potatoes? Or tell a man who has had a stroke while undergoing heart repairs that his paralysis and his kidney failure is a little trouble. I don't think you'd want me to come alongside and say those things, and yet sometimes I can come as a minister with that passage because it seems so inspiring. And this scripture may be read so that it may encourage someone as a Christian, or actually in some ways it can also be used to scold them into faith. saying, you know, what you're going through is just temporary. It's just small potatoes. But I want to ask you even right now and here, what are you going through right now? Anything tough? Anything chronic that has dogged you for most of this year or most and many of your years? Is there financial things that have been weighing you down? How's your health? Are there any relationships you're estranged from? Is there fear and anxiety and depression? These things that would entangle your life and make many days impossible even to function. How would you react if a neighbor or a family member or your Christian friend who has not experienced anything long or hard or devastatingly painful quoted words like slight and momentary, little troubles and small potatoes at you? Would you like me as a pastor or a chaplain to come to your despair and your distress and read this passage as comfort? Maybe, maybe. Because I really do like this passage. Or maybe not. I guess what I'm trying to say is Paul's words here or in our time of personal study need to be absorbed, fully understood, and maybe wrestled down to the metaphoric mat. How can he make light? How can Paul make light of suffering? And yet, you know what? Paul is not speaking from a place of ease or comfort. He lived out these words in terrible circumstances. Paul's life had been filled with awful things, beatings, imprisonment, desertion, shipwrecks, a death sentence. So I don't believe he was being glib about his afflictions or ours. But he speaks the words from a faith understanding because of his own outward suffering, from his lived experience, and then speaks into what a God-filled life might be able to understand. He learned over time the basic underlying truth of God's solidarity with us in all things. And that's why the outer nature, just like I'm getting old, so that people are now great-great-grandparents who were only parents when I knew them. But those things, my outer nature is changing. But inwardly, I am not the same person, thank God, as I was even 36 years ago. I've learned some things and I've grown in some ways. And now I'm going to use one of my favorite illustrations, Jim. It's like this. I once owned a sailboat, and I had to learn the basics. I needed to know how to switch hands on the tiller behind me to come about. And I needed to practice judging the winds and their direction. I even needed to know the little trick around the design flaw of my laser sailboat. Because if you have the sail out too far, the line there, the main line gets trapped on a corner and you're sure to flip over. It was accumulated experiences, yes, Tracy's nodding her head, it's accumulated experiences and acquired skills and growing confidence that was developed behind that tiller. And then when I encountered a real storm or a real changing of gusts of wind, I had the muscle memory and the trust to ride through the winds and waves and get to the safety of shore. Finding my faith in my ability then to sail came with practice and truthfully from prior difficulties, from actually capsizing from ill-timed wind changes. I learned to be steadier in difficult situations and circumstances because I had the basics down and I had the experience. And I was willing to learn that sailing was not just gentle breezes and clear skies. And so, you know, our lives, I'm not telling you anything new because I know some of you. Our lives are not all gentle or calm. And I'm not going to bring words about small potatoes to your palliative bedside or to your darkest emotional anguish hour. No, but I can here in this moment here, help you to consider what will bring your faith to a point that you can grapple with the suffering and the storms that you will face, that you have faced, that you will continue to face in the years to come. And in our lives, that seems like a long time, not a short momentary time. My hope is that we can take a passage like this from Paul's letter to the Corinthians and examine it, wrestle with its meaning and truth for our own lives, then and know that actually it's true, that God is with us, that our inner nature, our inner sense of God is growing. Suffering and storms are given in this life. Life can turn on a dime. And we can be shocked by the sudden afflictions. And it does challenge our faith. But as we mature in faith building skills of trust and growing a wider perspective of who God is and who God isn't, let that guide us. Let us hold on to the tiller of life that is God. Afflictions and suffering, never-ending hardships. Resilient faith feels the sorrow. Resilient faith feels the sorrow, the lostness, even the anger, as well as clinging to prayer and the presence of God. Sometimes faith is just gutting it out, surrendering and lamenting. Faith does not mean being stoic, but it means being real in the unknowing and in the confusion and still open to God dwelling with us in everything. We can cry out to God. We can share our doubts. We can wrestle. Passivity is not faith. Let the affliction renew and shape that inner faith, that inner being. And I know that that's paradoxical, because in the things that seem to break our faith can renew that faith. What good is faith only in prosperity and good health? Is that not the question that the evil one asked of God about Job? Times of difficulty tell us more about our faith than in times of ease. Our faith is living and dynamic. It's ebbing and flowing, renewing and growing, changing and fluctuating. Our inner nature is renewed over and over again, even as our bodies grow old or have incurable chronic issues or have knees and hips barely working or finances dwindling. Faith is still a dynamic thing that ebbs and flows, but is still there. The outward things of our bodies and our lives are in decline, but our inner ability to sense God and know God, I pray that that is part of where you are. Paul puts things in perspective when he speaks of the inner, eternal weight of glory. The Hebrew word for glory can also mean heavy or weighty. And someone else with better words than me says this: Glory has power behind it. Oomph. It is heavy enough to create its own gravity well. As the planets orbit the sun because of the sun's weight and mass, bend space around it, so also the weight of glory gets into our core being, and everything else in our life orbits around it. Everything gets focused on that glory, that glory's own weight of nuance, qualities, helps you and I, this writer says, to see even the harder things in our life in a new light. So, do we have to just accept Paul's words of this slight and momentary affliction and give a nod to it producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure? So do we? Do we just glibly say, yeah, it must be right, even if it doesn't feel right? No. No. I say again, wrestle with Scripture. See how it is true. We need to wrestle with the truth of what is temporary and what is eternal within our own context, within our own situation, within our own very being. Grapple and groan with the experiences of life and find out faith, truth in your own lives, in my own life. I'm going to end with a blessing and then go into prayer. May the Creator of life pour out divine grace upon you. May you feel Christ's hand in everything you do and be strengthened by the things that the Spirit brings through you. Amen and amen.